This is part B of the perfect work of God, number 2. Now we're here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's come here, Hebrews 10 and verse 16. Now this shows the work of God, and it shows the result of repentance. Verse 16. This is a covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. Now, the laws and commandments of God are truth. What did Jesus say in his final prayer in praying to the Father concerning us? He prayed to the Father, sanctify them in your word, for your word is the truth. Now, when you go to Psalm 119, verse 142, it says, all your commandments are truth. It says, your law is the truth. All your precepts from the beginning are true. So this is why the carnal mind does not like it. Because it does not like to be exposed for the evil that it is. But when we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and righteous to forgive our sins. And then he gives us the strength to overcome sin by doing what? Writing them into our hearts and into our minds. Then he goes one step further. And this is what we also need to do. And their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. Now let's go back to Psalm 103. We're not done here yet. We'll come back to the New Testament. Psalm 103. So keep your place there in Psalm 51. But here's the promise that I mentioned. And this is how we keep our perspective with God. Our perspective in life. Because being a Christian in this evil world is difficult. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And what happens when you sin and you're angry or you're not praying, you're not studying? And that's generally when a lot of sin happens, isn't it? Because you're forgetting God. See? So don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his love. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. That's what God is doing. That's the work that God is doing within us. That's his perfect work. Now notice, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in steadfast love. So that's why he pricks our conscience so we can repent. That's why he tries the reins and examines our hearts so that we can come back to God and so that we can keep in constant contact with him through with his spirit through the new covenant. Verse 9, he will not always chasten, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. And what is the wages of sin? Death. How does God handle that with us? By forgiveness, initially through baptism. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now here's how God deals with us. And we need to understand it and really come to God as David did in Psalm 51, asking for God's intervention, asking for God's cleansing, asking for the truth to be within him. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, he said he will remember no more our sins and our lawlessnesses, our iniquities, back there in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And also, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place shall know it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to those who keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. And so all of that ties together in the work that God is doing in us. And as I pointed out on a sermon here recently, Jesus said that God wants mercy and not sacrifice. That's also something we need to mix into the whole thing here that we are understanding. All right, now let's come back to Psalm 51 again. Psalm 51. Verse 6, let's go over that again. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And we receive the Spirit of truth. We have the commandments of God, which are truth. We have the laws of God, which are truth. We have the Word of God, which is truth. And that's how we get truth in the inward parts. Now, that's why study and prayer help bring this about. And in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Now, hyssop is kind of like a scrubbing instrument that takes off the caked on things. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Well, that's how we need to come before God. That's why repentance is the most important thing, along with prayer and study, that we yield ourselves to God so that he works with us. His Spirit works with us. He tries the reins. He tries the heart. He leads us in the way that we need to go. That's why it says back there, and as we already read previously, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now continuing, verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And we saw how he does that. Removing them. We confess our sins, he forgives us, he removes them. Now notice the end result of this and what God is doing in creating in us in his perfect work. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's what God wants. That's the whole goal through our life. And that comes directly from God. You can't get it by attending church. Well, you can have help along the way if the right things are taught, but you can't get it any other way. You can't get it through the world, through psychology or psychoanalysis. You can't get it through just changing your lifestyle. You have to have your heart cleansed from the inside. And then he has to create in you a clean heart through the washing of the water of the Word. and renew a steadfast spirit within me, so that I'm not going to be drawn away in my lust and my vanity and foolishness and stupidity. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, what he did was getting pretty close to really tempting God above measure. So that's why he said that. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. And our prayer today needs to be, you know, fill me with your Holy Spirit to do as you desire. And that's what he's saying here in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and let your free spirit uphold me. See, you can't buy the Spirit. God gives it freely upon repentance and baptism and turning your life over to God. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Now let's come to verse 17. The sacrifices of God, rather than being burnt offerings and all of that, are a broken spirit, not a haughty spirit. Broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So that comes with the way that God uses in developing and using the reins to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in his way and in his truth. Now, let's see what else needs to happen here. Not only will God remove them and forget them, let's come to Philippians, the third chapter, and let's see the attitude we also need to have. Philippians, the third chapter. This is what we need to strive for. Right here, continuously, just like the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul had a lot of things to forget, didn't he? He always remembered that he persecuted the church because he remembered the lesson. So whatever the difficulty and problem is, you do the same thing. You remember the lesson, but you put the sin from you, just like God removes it from you. So let's see his attitude and how we are to also do the same thing. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 8. But then truly I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because we've been shown the way of salvation, the way of truth, the way of God, so we can have faith, hope, and love. Count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. That's why when we're baptized, we're to count the cost. That's why we're to love God more than father and mother and brother and sister and husband and wife and children and lands and, yes, your own life also, you see. Count all things but loss. And count them as dung, that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is based on faith. That's why we are to study, we are to grow, we are to change, we are to live in the grace of God, and all of that. Verse 10, that I may know him, this is the goal, you see, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's what we are looking for. That's where we're headed. That's how we forget the things that are behind. That's how we overcome sin. That's how God deals with us, you see. But then he gives this caveat, verse 12. Not as though I have already received or have already been perfected, but see, it says God will perfect his will, his work. But I'm striving. That's what every day is. A striving, a changing, an overcoming. So that I may also lay hold on that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So here's the perspective. Here is what God wants us to do. Brethren, I do not count myself as having attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. You can never, ever overcome if you live in the past. You have to forget those things that are behind. Remember the lesson, but forget the things. And reaching forth to the things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So then, let as many as be perfect be thus minded, and the perfect work of God. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. How? By trying the reins and the heart and pricking your conscience and leading you to repentance. So that's something, isn't it? Now let's come to Philippians, the first chapter, and we'll end here. Let's pick it up in verse 2, the first chapter. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always making supplication with joy in my prayer for you all, and for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now this is what God is going to do. And we will read a couple of psalms in addition to this. All right? Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish it. He's going to accomplish his will. He is going to perfect his work in each one of us. Now let's look at some other promises that we can cling to, other promises in the book of Psalms, which will add to this. Let's come to Psalm 92, page 747. Psalm 92. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. Now we have been planted in the house of the Lord because that's the church. And we have entrance into the courts of our God. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit into the Holy of Holies. Now notice verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Now that's a good one to claim as a promise, right? Because a lot of us are reaching the old age. Yes, indeed. They shall be full of energy and sturdy. So I claim that promise. Okay? He also promises in Psalm 71 that when we're old and gray, God will not forsake us. And when we get weak and we can't do the things that we used to do, God will not forget us. So we can pray for this right here. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And isn't it true that the best wine comes from the oldest vine and brings forth good fruit in old age? They shall be full of energy and sturdy, and may that energy be the power of the Holy Spirit. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So that's how God is going to perfect His work. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection will be the final act for this physical body, because it's going to be changed from flesh to spirit, from mortal to immortal, from sinful to righteous, because God has called us and has loved us, and He's cleansing us with the washing of the water of the Word to perfect His work in us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.